Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Bill McKee. We're always encouraged to know what God is doing through this ministry to transform lives. If you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending an email to connect@bedfordfirstag.org. For more information about Bedford First Assembly and to watch the live stream of our services, visit www.bedfordfirstag.org.
Acts chapter 2, verse number 1 says, "When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them." Peter stood up on that Pentecost Sunday and proclaimed, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." That's us. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we pray this morning that you would awaken our heart, even cause us to have a longing within us for the fullness of your Spirit. Anything that you would promise to us has to be good, because you are a good, good Father. And you love us and you care for us. You care for everything that touches our lives. You've taught us that. You've shown that to us over and over and over again. We thank you this morning that your Spirit is still desiring to fill lives in 2020. Even as you filled the lives of those that were in the upper room on the day of Pentecost in 33 AD. I pray this morning that your Spirit would take your word and bring it home to every single person who is listening this morning, every single person who will give their attention to you. May you show them their need for a personal Pentecost. May it be an awakening within us, Lord. I ask it in Jesus' name, the baptizer of the Spirit. Amen. Amen. The opportunity of a personal Pentecost is given to every believer, to those whom the Lord our God shall call. You know, I've heard people say, and they've said it to me, "I'm just not sure if that's for me." If you're a believer, the fullness of the Holy Spirit is for you. Whether you receive that power of the Holy Spirit, whether you receive that gift that the Lord has for us, that will be between you and the Lord. I cannot baptize you. All that I can do is tell you that the Father and the Son have made available to you the third person of the Godhead to take up residence within you, to give you power that you do not have. There are three words to me that are alive with Pentecost. And I just want to highlight those three words to you this morning and hopefully seed them into your heart and give you something to think about. The first word of preparation, if you will, for a personal Pentecost is a word that we don't like. I think I can speak for everybody in this room. It's one that we don't like. It's found in the fourth verse. Are you looking? You can guess what it is. As soon as you come across it, you'll understand. He told them in Jerusalem, he says, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait. Oh, my goodness. Don't you love it when the Lord answers your prayer with wait? Speaks into your heart. You're saying, Lord, I know that I need this thing right now. And the Lord says, wait. It just makes you so excited, doesn't it? You just say, yes, that's exactly what I wanted to hear when you said wait to me. And then our question comes, Lord, how long? And then heaven becomes silent. Because things happen spiritually when we wait on the Lord. What Heidi said a few moments ago about the journey and all of that and not missing a single day. You know, quite often spiritually, when we're spiritually seeking, we look to the end. We're captivated by the end of what God wants to do. When he wants to start his moving in our lives on the very first day that we recognize that he has something for us. I know individuals who desired for an outpouring of the Spirit of God. You might call it a revival. You may call it an awakening. But they in earnest said, you know, I'm going to begin to seek the Lord for that. And, you know, after a few weeks, a few months, maybe even a few years, they get discouraged. Well, I've been praying and nothing is happening. Well, I would say if you are praying and nothing is happening, then you're not praying. You're not really in contact with the Lord. You say, yeah, but you know, I want to see the outpouring. I want to see people slain in the Spirit. I want to see people healed. I want to see people being saved by the hundreds and everything. Yes, but when the Holy Spirit laid upon your heart to call upon him for an outpouring or an awakening or a revival or whatever you want to call it, he was calling you into a journey. And that journey sometimes is a journey of waiting on the answer, but it is not a dead end. It is an opportunity for the Lord to begin to do things in your life during that period of waiting. In the original language of the Bible, that word wait there, perimeno, is a compound word. It means the first part, the prefix, is about or for. The suffix means to remain or to wait. So putting the two things together in the word that he uses here is a powerful thing because he's not saying, just wait. He's saying, wait because something's coming. Wait because I'm going to do something. Wait because there's going to be change. There's going to be power. There's going to be things that are released as you are waiting. Waiting is a biblical truth. I don't have time this morning to go through all the different aspects of waiting, but just let me whet your appetite a little bit. Psalm chapter 27, verse 14, David called for it. He says, wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. You know how he knew to call for that? Because he had been a man who had to wait on the Lord. Imagine when Samuel came to him and dumped the oil on him and said, you are going to be the king of all of Israel. Yeah. Happened the next day, didn't it? Come on, how many know your Bible? My goodness, what he had to go through. He hadn't done anything to Saul, but Saul became his enemy. Saul tried time and again to kill him, throw a spear at him. God handed Saul into David's hand. David refused to touch God's anointed. And what did that do? That just stretched out the time. Who did he end up with? He ended up with all of the ruffians in society. All the thieves and the roughest bunch. Instead of sitting in the king's palace, he's among, forgive this, but I'll just call it that, the scum of the earth. They were people that nobody else wanted in their town. And they all collected to him because he was a reject. But you said, but God told him he was going to be king. He learned to wait. So again, when he says, wait for the Lord, be strong, take heart. Why? Because you can know that when you're waiting for the Lord to do something, that he is going to work in your life along the way. He was doing things in David's life that David could not imagine. We love patience, right? That goes along with it. Huh? Everybody loves patience. Just say, huh? Or, Proverbs 20:22, Solomon proclaimed this truth. He says, do not say, I'll pay you back for this wrong. Wait for the Lord, and he will deliver you. See, all too often, even as believers, we want to get in, we want to settle the issues. We think, let me get in there and I'll take care of this. I'll bring retribution for that thing that somebody did to me. We know in our hearts and in our minds that the Lord has told us, vengeance is mine, I shall repay, saith the Lord. We know that we do not have to fight our own battles because he is covenant with us to fight our battles. And yet we step out. And oft times the Lord will say, wait, I'll take care of this. Yeah, but Lord, I can do this. I can do this. I really appreciate your willingness and all of that, but I can take care of this. Now, you know, this would be great if it wasn't just in our home, if it wasn't just outside our homes, but sometimes it's inside our home. It's inside our relationships. I'll let that sink in just a moment. Learn to wait over those prayers that you're praying. Lord, change my mate. Hello? Learning to wait and let God maybe, just maybe, change you. All of a sudden they get better because God has worked on you. Oh, you're familiar with this one in Isaiah 40:31. Probably most of you in here can quote it, or many. I keep doing it in the King James, so I'm just going to quote it that way. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Wow. Wow. Who does it come to? They that wait upon the Lord. But God, do it now. The Lord says, wait. And it's not that you are waiting for something that will happen down the road, but what you're doing is you're entering into a covenant with him that says, it's coming. We need to recognize that in regards to the coming of the Lord Jesus. He's coming. You say, but oh, people have been saying that forever. He's coming. Just wait. And oh, by the way, he wants to do some things along the journey. He wants to make some changes in our lives. He wants to bring us into compliance with his desire and prepare us for the eternal life that he has before us. I say all that again to remind you that when you are seeking the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, don't be afraid when the Lord puts you in a waiting situation. Keep praying, keep seeking, keep crying out to the Lord. I had a dear brother many, many years ago, and his wife had been filled with the Holy Spirit in a prayer group that she was in, and they were in a particular denomination that did not believe in, I mean, to a huge extent, they did not believe in speaking in other tongues or in the power of the Holy Spirit coming over a person's life. And so he was actually a deacon in that church. And so it really put him in a difficult place because he could not say to his wife, no, you didn't experience this. Because actually his confession to me was that he saw such an incredible difference in her life. So all of a sudden, they decided to, because of her influence in the household and not being ministered to, and it was a particular sermon that kind of set them apart, because the pastor of that church got up and preached wholeheartedly, because there were several women in his church who were in this prayer group and all had been filled with the Holy Spirit. And so he was quite upset, and so he spoke against it. And they said, okay, we've got to leave. So they left and they came into our fellowship. Well, he came to me and he said, Pastor, you know, he said, I see this in the scripture. And he said that the difference in my wife has been overwhelming. He said, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So I prayed with him, laid hands upon him, as others had done in the scripture. And nothing happened. I encouraged him. I said, keep pressing in. Pressing in. He began getting up in the middle of the night and seeking the Lord, crying out for the Lord to fill him with the Holy Spirit. It left being something that he just desired. It became an obsession to be possessed by the Holy Spirit. And he would come to me and say, Pastor, he said, you know, oh my goodness, he said, I just spent hours this week seeking the Lord. I said, just keep seeking the Lord. And over a year went by. And, you know, there were times that he would be high because God was meet with him in the nights. And there were other times it was just dry as it could be. And he's pressing through all of these times. The seeking part changed him. The waiting part changed him. He didn't realize it until one particular night when he got up and he prayed and nothing really was happening. And he said, you know, it was one of those dry times. And he said, I thought, well, I'm going to go back and go back to bed and try to go to sleep. And he said, as soon as I laid my head down on the pillow, he said, the Spirit of God fell on me. And he said, I slid out of the bed and down onto the floor and for a couple of hours laid there praying in the Holy Spirit and the power of God on my life. Hallelujah. Man, you should have seen him when he came into church. Wow. Was he flying high? But he said to me, he said, Pastor, you know, he said, I'm thrilled with what the Lord has done and is doing. But he said, I would not trade the 14 months of seeking God for anything. Because he said he didn't realize, but he said all the teaching that I had heard against the Holy Spirit needed to be washed. The power of the Word needed time to get down inside of me and down inside my heart and actually begin to produce fruit in my life. He said, I have to say that I began to see the fruit of the Holy Spirit in my seeking and in my waiting. Before I ever saw the power of the Holy Spirit come upon me in that midnight hour. I'm telling the church, there is something that God will do with our waiting. Just don't get discouraged. Just know that when the Lord calls you to wait, when he puts a hunger down inside of you and you begin to seek his face, you begin to call upon him, you begin to seek after him, and all you get is just another time of waiting. Don't get discouraged, but grab hold of it and say, Lord, use this time. Do in me what you can only do over a season. I will tell you, too, that one of the dangers of being filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking in other tongues in a moment and at the laying on of hands at an altar is that many times people will get up from there, I received him, I received it, sometimes they say, and they walk out and they are unchanged. Because all that they were looking for was the experience. And what he is wanting is a life that is under his possession. If I say to you this morning, demon possession, for how many of you does that conjure up an image in your mind? I mean, to where you kind of have adjusted in your mind the difference between somebody who is just operating in the evilness of this world and somebody who is possessed by the devil. Huh? You see, I believe that the enemy of our souls has nothing original. I believe that demonic possession, the overcoming, the overtaking of a life by the enemy of that man's soul, is the exact opposite of the possession of the Holy Spirit in the life. To be filled with the Spirit of God is to be possessed by the Spirit of God. I don't know, some of you, I'll have to think about it. Let me give you the second word. And I struggled with this one. I almost came up with four. But I realized that this is kind of a compound situation. The next word is gift. We need to recognize that this is a gift. That the power of the Holy Spirit is a gift that has come to us. What does he say? Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift. Now there's a qualifier here, and that's what I said. I almost went to number four because it is a promised gift. And there's a difference. If Sharon says to me, you know, I'm going to give you a gift, and I have no idea what it is, but she says it's going to be a really nice gift. I'm hoping to be able to do it. I will kind of put that in the back of my mind and I will go on. If she says to me, I'm going to do this, whatever it takes, I promise you, you've got a gift coming. Keep this in mind, honey. All of a sudden, it has just entered into a new place. Because now, there's not just a gift possibility here, but there is a promise of a gift. This is exactly what the Lord has done for us. He didn't just say, you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. He says to us, you will receive the promised gift of my Father. That means to say that the integrity, the truth, if you will, of God the Father rests upon that gift coming. I don't know if you realize this yet or not, but you can trust God. Paul, to the church at Ephesus, said, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. It's a gift. It's a gift that comes at the desire and the love of the Father through the Son. In John chapter 16, verse 5 to 7, Jesus says, I'm going to him who sent me, yet none of you ask me, where are you going? Because I have said these things, you're filled with grief. But I tell you the truth, it is good, it is for your good that I'm going away. The counselor will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. What happened is, he's giving them a picture. He said, when you see me go, it's going to be a sign to you because I'm making you a promise that when I go, I'm going to send him back to you. So can you imagine when those people stood on that hillside and watched him ascend into the clouds, into heaven? It was saying to them, something else is getting ready to happen. That was the reason why they left that mountain and they went to the upper room. It wasn't because they liked each other. It wasn't because they had some organizational things to take care of. It was because Jesus said, when I go, I will send back to you what you need in order to be able to move on forward. Another just like myself. Another one who is going to be in you, not just with you, but in you. Oh, hallelujah. Holy Spirit doesn't want to just surround you. He doesn't want to just come and visit you. He doesn't want to just do something for you for a day. He wants to be in you. He wants to walk with you and talk with you. He wants to direct your life. He wants to possess you. this gift thing. The other powerful gift that the Lord gives to us is salvation. You realize, don't you? How many? Is there anybody saved in this house? Oh, I'm so glad you're here this morning. Thank you so much for coming. I'm so glad to look out and see people. Do you realize how difficult it is and it has been these weeks to look out at these empty seats? Steve knows. It's been crazy. Every one of you look good to me today. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Oh, my goodness. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Church, as surely this morning as you are accepting the gift of salvation and everlasting life from him, he has prepared a power of his Holy Spirit to come and set up residence within you and to live in you, to guide you, to direct your life, to enable you. Oh. Do not leave Jerusalem. Do not leave your prayer closet until you have been filled with power from on high. The Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said. He wants to be speaking into you. He wants to direct your life. He wants to help you live a Christian life. I have to move to the third word because basically my time is up, but blame Heidi. That was easy today, Steve. That worked out really well. You and I are innocent, brother. The third word is power, and it's really the motivation. He said, you will receive power in verse number 8. You will receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. He wanted to give them something to reach out and take hold of. He said, that power, that dunamis, it is ability beyond your own. It is wisdom and understanding beyond your own. It is the enablement to do incredible things. My mind always goes to... Philip. You know, I look down at my notes and everything's kind of weird. This week I had another retina tear over here. Took care of this one last fall. Now this one did it over here. So I got all these things floating around. Pretty cool. Some of you have stripes today. Philip was filled with the Holy Spirit. And so God used him mightily to talk to an Ethiopian eunuch. And when he was finished baptizing the Ethiopian eunuch, God took him out of the situation and landed him at Azotus. Miles and miles and miles away. I keep waiting for that. That would be fun, wouldn't it? To be transported. Listen, when God is involved, anything is possible. I was taking one of my walks the other day and I was thinking about this and I thought, you know, God, help me to see. And the Lord was very gracious to show me that I could accomplish nothing if it wasn't for his power. So anything that I have accomplished in my lifetime that could be to my credit is because of him. So we got that out of the way. I have to remember that maybe he did pick me up and move me about in a supernatural way. What can God do with your life? No, not what can you do with your life for God, but what can God do with your life? What can God do with the life that is completely turned over to him? He said, oh my goodness, I can't do that. I've got to work my job and I've got to take care of my family and I can't be running off to China or Africa or something like that. You're trying to figure out God's part. My part is to wait until we have been filled with power from on high, until he overcomes us by his Spirit. It's really quite easy in that he's already promised to give us the gift. So in other words, you do not have to cry out to him and say, "Oh God, please do something that you're not really wanting to do." His Holy Spirit has already been sent. The thing that needs to be changed, that needs to be altered, is our will coming in alignment with his will. Opening up the vessel sometimes takes some time, because we are afraid of what, if we open up to the Lord, if we let him see inside, that he will reveal things to us that we don't want him to know when he already knows them. Why not come clean? Huh? He's not afraid to use a broken vessel. He's not afraid of your past. He will wash your past with his blood, and he will use you incredibly beyond anything that your mind could ever imagine if you are willing to let him fill you with his Holy Spirit. I know, because I have done this for a little while, that there are some of you who have said, "Well, I sought that in the past. Nothing happened to me." Wait. Actively wait. Let the hunger begin to grow in you of what God can do beyond your ability. He wants to bring power upon you. Those folks on the day of Pentecost in 33 AD waited for 10 days beyond the resurrection or the ascension of Jesus. 10 days in that upper room, praying, seeking the Lord, eating together, worshiping together, to the point that in Acts chapter 2, they were together in one accord in that one place, and the Spirit fell upon them. Be careful about any equations that you have here. "Well, if I do this, if I wait 10 days, if I..." No. Wait upon the Lord. "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." I believe Isaiah, with eyes of the Spirit, could see what happened on the day of Pentecost and what would happen over and over and over again as men and women just like us were filled with the Spirit of God. When he said, "They shall mount up on wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Cannot tell you the number of times that in my physical being, I said, I cannot. But I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength.